JT, live in Vegas.
Football season is finally here.
Number one, I love football.
Oh, yeah.
And I love the Raiders.
We go balls out with the Raiders.
Just win, baby.
My father used to say that the greatness of the Raiders is in its future.
I'm all in.
We go balls out with the Raiders.
Dominate, commitment to excellence.
There is unfinished business.
The best and most elite Raiders insiders right here exclusively on this show.
Oh, yeah.
Just win, baby.
Here I am, and I'm ready to get to work.
And now, live from Las Vegas, here's JT the Brick.
JT with you today, brought to you as always by Golden Entertainment, the home of PT's More Taverns, opening up in the valley. It's incredible what they're doing there. The SG Sierra Gold, please head on out and check out the new Stratosphere. And remember, fantasy football, they would love you to build your draft with their draft kit, all their specials coming up. And we're going to be picking up that heavy here as we get into August and fantasy football season is upon us. Hope you're doing well. Fun show today. Again, I'll be on the sidelines Friday night in Oakland as the Raiders open up the preseason against the Detroit Lions. The Raiders had a spirited practice so far today. Just got off the phone up in Oakland talking to a couple individuals who were there at practice, including a former player. Both quarterbacks threw interceptions in Matthew Stafford and Derek Carr, and both of these teams, the physicality was popping at practice today. So this is real. This is technically, for a guy like John Gruden and Matt Patricia, as important, if not more important, than a preseason playoff game where the starters don't play, where you don't keep your stars in there, you don't know who's going to play. In this type of practice, where you can get after it and you can work on individual drills, you know, goal line situations, bring in players, mix and match, and test each other's coaching staff under a respected environment where you're hoping, as John Gruden said yesterday, no fights, no one brawling, just to be pros here. A lot's going to get done here over the next couple of days. Big picture for me is that this is John Gruden's first practice in 10 years back with another team in a training camp. And I think the way he prepares, no disrespect to Matt Patricia and some of the other coaches there, but Gruden doesn't sleep. Gruden works around the clock, and Gruden lives for this. This is his life, so I would expect that the Raiders are really ratcheting it up. And then probably, I don't know what will happen on Sunday. He's probably not going to play Carr. If he does, it won't be long, and you're going to see the subs get a lot of looks. The good news for the Raiders is there's 40-plus new guys on that roster, on that 90-man roster, and they're all competing. And I respect Jack Del Rio, who had the team last year, but last year when I was at training camp at this time, no one was really competing to the point where they were worried about their jobs. That's the biggest difference. I was just on the radio a half hour ago in San Diego on the flagship station out of the Rams. Does that sound weird? I'm in San Diego where they're talking Rams football, and they're asking me what's the takeaway with Gruden. And I say it's fake news. You know, we see fake news in politics all the time now. I turn on SportsCenter today. Will Khalil Mack be traded? Well, I can't guarantee you anything, but I would assume not. Khalil Mack's under contract. He's their best player. He could be franchise tagged in years to come. I think that the Raiders will work with Khalil Mack. And everybody's making Gruden out to be an old man, like the game is passing him by. Because we're in the summer of LeBron James with a dash of Urban Meyer sprinkled in, and people in the media are lazy. They want to look at the lazy topic. What's the laziest topic we can do? Let's put people on the radio and ask if Khalil Mack's going to be traded. Now, if there's less than a 1% chance and he does get traded, you know where to find me. Come in and rip me. But I'm hoping for the best with Khalil Mack, who, again, I repeat, is under contract. And for the Raiders, the competition has been really intense up in Napa as guys are looking over their shoulders. Donald Penn knows there's a new left tackle in Colton Miller. There are safeties and corners like Obi Melanfanu, Carl Joseph, Reggie Nelson saying, oh, my God, I got five other guys competing for my job. I like that in a preseason. Look at what the Patriots do. I read the Patriots headlines every day, cutting this guy, bringing this guy. Everybody who comes to the Patriots gets in line. They don't have all superstars. They got Brady and Gronk. You look at the rest of the team on both sides of the ball. If you took the Patriots and sent the entire roster other than Brady and Gronk and just sent it up to Buffalo or sent it to New Orleans or sent it out to Kansas City, would you be sitting there going, that's your Super Bowl champ? No. You're doing it because of the leaders on the team. Gronk when healthy and Brady. Well, the Raiders, I hope, can build around Mack and Carr. and make that be the foundation for years to come. Let's talk about Urban Meyer. There's new news from Brett McMurphy, who I had on this show last week. He's the gentleman who broke the story formerly from ESPN, and now he's on Facebook. And he broke the story by sitting down with Zach Smith's wife, ex-wife Courtney, got the text messages and the pictures of her injuries, put it in front of Urban Meyer on media day, and then Urban Meyer kind of started tripping all over himself.
I am going to address the 2009 because I've been asked about that. 2009, Zach was an intern, a very young couple. As I do any time that I imagine most coaches or people in leadership positions, you receive a phone call. First thing you do is tell your boss, let the experts do their jobs. It came back to me that what was reported wasn't actually what happened. And so 2015, I got a text late last night that something happened in 2015 and there was nothing. You know, once again, I don't know who creates a story like that. And then this recent one was, you press pause. It's something our team lives by, E plus R equals O. You get an event. You press pause, get your mind right, and step up. Press pause to gather information, get your mind right to gather energy, and then step up to do the right thing. That's the position that I hold, and that's why we did that.
So those who are new to the story, the reason why Urban Meyer's in trouble is he said in that soundbite, 2015 was nothing. No, it was something. It's another accusation of domestic violence with the police knew about, Urban Meyer knew about, Urban Meyer's wife, who's a nurse on campus, knew about, and now everybody knows about it. So Urban Meyer lied to the media. Now we found out that he can't get fired for lying to the media. But then again today, Brett McMurphy, with his great independent reporting, found out that the coach who was fired, Zach Smith, his annual base salary only increased $6,600. That's his raise, which was the lowest annual raise of his career following the 2015 season. Another smoking gun at Ohio State. If nobody knew about anything, nobody knew. They didn't bring it up in 15, 16, 17, got caught with this reporting in 2018. Brett McMurphy and his reporting able to go back and to see the lowest raise of the fired coach's career happened following the 2015 season. The $6,600 increase was the lowest in his six-year career at Ohio State. By comparison, here's the key. Other assistant coaches received significant base salary raises after the 2015 season. According to university documents, Zach Smith's 2017 staff performance review, under overall comments, it lists positive and work on. Under work on, the fifth item says work on personal matters. So Brett McMurphy's got the document showing that he didn't get a raise, which is a smoking gun, got the smallest raise, the minimum. And it said on personal matters, work on it, which means Urban Meyer has been covering up this story at one of the greatest institutions in America for at least 2.5 to 3 seasons. Got caught by a reporter and is now trying to spin his way out of this. Really big story. And then they had a rally on campus. Yesterday, only 100 people showed up. 100. I don't think you want to be seen at some of these rallies in America lately. Okay, I'll just leave it at that. That's a bad look for Urban Meyer. Now, you could say school's not in session. The kids aren't there. What does this mean? What does this mean? Well, it basically means that you're talking about a school that is taking a step back from Urban Meyer. So my conclusion is that they're going to fire Urban Meyer, but they're trying to negotiate the buyout here. The other thing could be they're going to suspend Urban Meyer. They're going to suspend him, and they need the rest of this 12-day window to figure out how they can spin it to the national media and the local media in Columbus. Really big story going on here. We'll get into that. If you have an opinion, again, I like to tie everything back to this college community. Okay, we don't have anything. Right here, I got the Review Journal here, front page. I don't see domestic violence. I don't see cover-up. I don't see 2015 document. I don't hear anything about it. So we have a program, we, here in Las Vegas, up in Reno, where you look at these programs and say, whoa, seems pretty quiet. It's not Ohio State. Ohio State's an absolute abomination. It's an embarrassment. Everyone should be taking notice about cover-ups, what coaches know, domestic violence, court reports, the local DA, what do they know, and are there any documents floating around this city or any other city that could get a coach in trouble long-term because he didn't handle something that surfaces 3 or 4 years later? Knock wood, no. That's what you hope for. And if you run a clean program, you don't have to worry about that at all. Other big story today, Carmelo Anthony, it's all but official, will be a Houston Rocket. I'm a Carmelo Anthony fan. I'm on an island by myself. Carmelo Anthony goes to the Rockets and their win total goes down. We'll talk to Tony Miller coming up a little bit later on about NFL win totals, the great sportsbook director over at the Golden Nugget on that. I think Carmelo Anthony, James Harden, and Chris Paul can give the Warriors a run for their money if they get another player, another mid-level exception or a trade at the trade deadline. I think Carmelo has probably got one more run left in him, but he better be in shape and he better be ready to go. That's the big NBA story today. And then the other fake news item that's getting a lot of play on other shows, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but does LeBron have too much on his plate? Because he has documentaries coming out there, real estate deals that are going on. When LeBron James does a deal in Akron, Ohio, say he's developing movies in Cleveland, and you're not going to know about it, right? You're not going to know about it unless he tweets it. But in Hollywood, if it turns out that he's doing movies in Hollywood in production, people now in L.A., some are just a slightly bit concerned that he might just have a little bit too much on his plate before he becomes an almighty Los Angeles Laker. I want to move over to some contract status. I mentioned Khalil Mack in the open. Odell Beckham Jr., his agent left the New York Giants camp without a deal in place, which to me is a pretty big deal overall because they thought they were close, and Beckham Jr. did the right thing and showed up for camp.
I'm optimistic. It all works itself out. Life always does. Who doesn't want to get more money? Everybody does, so you just got to be realistic with yourself. You see what happened over the offseason. Can't really worry about anybody else. Just let them figure it out, and whenever it happens, it'll happen.
That's very mature for a guy who wants to get paid $20 million. That's the growth in Odell Beckham Jr. Jarvis Landry, who's now with the Cleveland Browns, saying, hey, if you can't get a deal done, we got room to bring you over here to Cleveland.
If things like that are able to happen, and you know the team can make it happen, and you know he's happy with it, then you know why not?
Mm-hmm. And do you think he would be up for something like that?
He definitely would be. He would be.
And then the contract status of Aaron Donald, who's arguably the best defensive player in football behind Von Miller, and right there with Khalil Mack. Sean McVay, the head coach of the Rams, understands that this is a pressing issue, and he wasn't there today, which is the day he's supposed to report.
I don't think anything's going to change with that in the near future. You know, I've had a little bit of dialogue with Aaron, and, you know, we're hopeful that we'll get something done, but I don't think there's any real, you know, realistic deal to kind of that August 7th being a date that changes really anything. But you never know, and, you know, things remain the same. I'm looking forward to trying to connect with him later on today, and, you know, kind of we'll see where we're at.
So the real big topic in football when it comes to X's and O's that I'd like you to participate in today on Twitter, on the phones, is do you believe that defensive players should get paid at the same level as offensive players? And I'm only talking the elite stars. The highest paid defensive players currently in the NFL without a franchise tag at number 5, J.J. Watt of the Texans, $16.6 million. Justin Houston of the Chiefs, $16.8 million. Olivier Vernon, the defensive end of the Giants pass rusher, $17 million. Fletcher Cox of the Super Bowl champion Eagles, $17.1 million. And Von Miller of the Broncos, who I believe is the best player, defensive player in all of football. He's the Ray Lewis of today. He's the highest paid player at $19 million. So what Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald are trying to do is get more money than Aaron, than Von Miller, which is fair because, like real estate, if a housing market is going up and you're chasing the market and you're going to buy a house, you might as well overpay for it now because it's going to continue to go up. The market is moving higher in the NFL, but do you think that Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald should get the type of money that a quarterback should get? I think the guy who screwed this up more than anybody is Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins didn't do anything wrong. He's a man of faith. I interviewed him at the Super Bowl. He got $84 million guaranteed. I think he's an average quarterback. I know he's not great. He's never played great in big games. I don't think he's ever played in a big game. And he's the highest paid football player to ever live at $84 million. Now other defensive players want to get paid at the quarterback level. Do you believe that that quarterback money should go to defensive players? 876-1340 is the number. Brady Cannon will join us at the bottom of the hour from Against the Number and VSiN on the PGA and what's going to happen at the PGA Championship coming up this weekend. The rain has been intense. It's been pouring there. Will that have an effect on the golf course? We'll ask Brady about that. I think he's one of the sharpest guys in the business of betting golf. So if you're looking for matchups, he's a real home run. He'll be great. He'll talk about that PGA Championship coming up there. And one late story, Joey Bosa left practice for the Chargers after injuring his left foot on 11-on-11 team drills. It doesn't look like it's going to be very serious. He left the field on his own and spent the rest of the practice getting treatment in the training facility. But that's their best player along with Melvin Ingram. They're going to need him. The Chargers decimated once again with injuries in the preseason. And again, the Raiders kick off the preseason on Friday. Down the road, close your eyes unless you're driving. I'm going to build a radio show, me, that's going to have 9 Raider fans on hold coming out of my first break. Because if not, it's not going to work. We need the Raider Nation to embrace this football team right now the way you embrace the Vegas Golden Knights. This is it. The Homer Raiders Radio, moi. Right here, if you're excited about camp, if you got questions on Mac, if you're questioning Gruden, bring it to me. I'll bring it back to Napa. 876-1340 is the number. Coming up next, Tony Miller joins us from the Golden Nugget. We'll talk to him about the wild ride of the Vegas Golden Knights and what the odds look like this year, plus some NFL totals as the season gets underway here in about a month. Where is the value in betting win totals coming into this season? I got an idea on 2 teams that I think are tremendous value. We'll get into that next. This is Fox.
Very good last year on defense with Khalil Mack. And we didn't have an interception, I think, all year. I don't know if we intercepted a pass until week 14. We've got to get a better pass rush. We've got to play better defense, period. And we hope Khalil gets in here, but in the time being, we have plenty of guys that need work.
Yeah, that soundbite from John Gruden's getting a lot of play. JT, back with you, brought to you by the Henderson Hyundai Superstore on Boulder Highway in Henderson, your home of the deal. The greatest values in Vegas at the Henderson Hyundai Superstore. Head on out down there, see Frank and the crew, huge Vegas Golden Knight fans. They'll put together a deal for you. You got to get out there to see the deals that they have. I go out there often. The showroom's amazing. Go out and see the great staff at the Henderson Hyundai Superstore. Rob, thanks for holding. You're up first. You're listening to Fox. Go ahead.
What's happening, man? How you doing?
Real good, thanks.
Hey, man. Great to be on the show. Always great to hear you, and sure are glad our Raiders are coming to Vegas, man.
Yeah, it's 2 years away, man. We got to get you on an Oakland trip before they get here, but they're coming. The stadium and the progress looks unbelievable when I'm out there, and you're going to be excited, hopefully, with the way the team's playing this year before they get to Vegas.
I'm still pinching myself. I've lived in Las Vegas since I was a little kid, you know, spent most of my life believing that we're never going to get the NFL here. I've been a Raider fan since 1980, spent a good portion of my life trying to figure out how I could move to Oakland to be near my Raiders, and now they're coming home to me. So, you know, it still doesn't feel quite real yet because it's 2 years away, but, you know.
Well, thanks for the call, buddy. I mean, we're just, you know, I know it's a feel-good, hey, how you been call. I'm looking for people that want to talk about the team, but I know you're excited. I'm really excited that your team is coming here. I'm excited for the fans in Oakland. I think the fans in Oakland first need to win. Those fans are a priority to me right now, trying to find a way to get those fans to go out and win and get some good vibes going up in Oakland before they get here is imperative. Steve, you're on Fox. Go ahead. What do you got?
Okay, JT. Yes, I believe this is an imperative year for the Raiders, you know, for building some momentum coming down here. But I want to share a story, a Gruden story with you, and it's a quickie. back when he was coaching before, I was at a Warrior game with my father, and we were sitting at halftime in this special bar that you go into with the seats that we had. And here comes Gruden walking past us. And I said, "Hey, John," my dad said, "Hey." He stops, he shakes our hands, he pulls up a stool, and he sits down and he talks to us for about 45 minutes about the state of the Raiders and what was going on, talked about us. We had a really, you know, I mean, it was just like a guy I hadn't seen in a while pulling up a chair and catching up. Goodness.
Yeah, he is like that. I appreciate the call. He is he's one of the nicest guys I've ever met. He's the best focused. He pays complete attention to you and the details of your conversation with him, and he cares about people. I mean, for John Gruden, I told this quick story on the night show the other day when I was up there for training camp and they had alumni, the luncheon. I've never seen a coach walk into his own team's event and get mobbed. Never. On any level. Where he couldn't walk 5 feet. There was over 100 alumni, and every alumni got up and walked around and wanted to, you know, get a selfie with him, and they wanted to be with him. It was everything. He was like an absolute rock star. And I'm looking at the situation now, and I'm wondering out loud, you know, the way he meets with the fans, the way he talks to the fans, the way he communicates with fans, he knows that he has to win. He knows he's got to win. John Gruden isn't about, hey, everyone's going to like me and they're going to like me more, and I want them to like me because I'm this guy. He doesn't care about anything other than treating people with respect and winning football games. I've been around a lot of coaches and a lot with the Raiders, and they all have great intentions coming in. Gruden must win in Oakland. He was brought in to be super elite, and I believe that it will be his birth into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton. I think that John Gruden's not a Hall of Famer as a head coach unless he wins another Super Bowl. And I think he'll get that Super Bowl with the Raiders in Oakland or Las Vegas, and I'll make him complete. Tony Miller, Golden Nugget, one of the best sportsbook directors you'll meet and one of the best overall guys in town when it comes to hospitality. Tony, good to catch up with you in the sweltering month of August. How are you?
JT, is smoking outside, buddy. Let me tell you, it's hot.
Oh, you got a beautiful inside. I know you. Hey, tell us first off about your contest and what you have going on for football season, because I'm reading a lot about it. I'm hearing the buzz about it. A lot of the sharps are talking about it. Fill us in.
Yeah, the Ultimate Football Contest is called JT, and it's really cool. It's a complete handicapping contest where you can pick from all NFL sides and college football sides. We put every college football game on the card in the contest for that weekend. So you got over 80 games of usually college football to choose from, the whole NFL card. So whatever your thing is, whether you like, you know, NFL or college or even the added games in college football, the lower-end conference teams we put in there also. So a lot to choose from.
Tony Miller's our guest. Let's talk about win totals in the NFL. You hear about the Raiders often with the California money coming to Nevada, and usually it always spikes up a bit. The Raider fans will throw money on it overall to get going and get excited. Do you think that number is fair? Where's the value with the Raiders coming into the second tenure of John Gruden?
Let me tell you, man, they're catching fire around here. It's a big name now. Things are happening. They're going to be coming to town real soon. Still in Oakland. But you know what, man? They're getting a lot of play with me down the Golden Nugget here. They're betting the over right now. They're betting the Raiders in the futures. You know, I just can't stop. It's all about the Raiders right now. And, hey, they got a good team, man. And I expect them to, you know, challenge this year. And they're getting a lot of play, a lot of support.
What about the play for the Cowboys? Cowboys are always hot in Vegas. Tell me about that. A lot of changes for the Dallas Cowboys, especially no Jason Witten, no Dez Bryant. They still have a great offensive line, and Zeke Elliott should play a full season if healthy.
Yeah, with Zeke coming back, playing the full season now. And, hey, the big question mark is their receiving corps. No Dez Bryant now. What are they going to do? But I think they got a good kip and Gallup. They got out of Colorado State. They picked up, and they got Allen Hurns now. And it's just going to be a receiver by committee. So see how Dak does. You know, Zeke needs to help him out a lot. I think their big question this year is going to be their defense.
Green Bay Packers with Aaron Rodgers, they seem to be a team that people like to bet over the total every year because of the quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, who's in the absolute prime of his career. I think he's going to make a run at the MVP and probably win it this year. A lot of hot money coming in on the Pack?
Yeah, for sure. They always get a lot of play, a lot of support. We're a Wisconsin house, too, here at the Golden Nuggets, so they get a lot of play. And Aaron Rodgers is one of the best. And I can tell you, as a Cowboy fan, he's a thorn in my side.
No doubt about it. Hey, before we go back to football a little bit, last I spoke to you when the Knights were really hot, what was your big takeaway with all the talk in town about who owned those tickets and future tickets, who was betting every night just on the Knights to win? As one of the guys who have been doing this as successfully as you've been in this town for this long, what blew you away about it, and why are you so excited about the Knights' action coming up this year?
You know, JT, last year going into the hockey season with them coming in and playing their first season here, a lot of whole, you know, the Vegas atmosphere here wasn't too sure about hockey, and we weren't too sure about the Knights, but they won us over, especially after 1 October, and they carried the city, and they carried us on their shoulders, and they played a great, great season, and we were behind them all the way. It got more exciting as it went down. I learned a lot about hockey as a sportsbook director. We just don't get a lot of hockey play here in Las Vegas. But last year, because of them playing as well as they did and all the teams that came to town to visit Vegas and play the Vegas Golden Knights, we got a lot of play. And all of a sudden you see hockey up on the big screens, you know, give us hockey sound, let's watch the game. And it became very, very popular. It's all thanks to the Golden Knights and what Bill Foley did to the city, and we expect it to carry on next season. And
Tony Miller is our guest, Golden Nugget Sportsbook Director here on Fox Sports Radio. The summer of LeBron, when you're in the book and you're sitting there, you're going out for a steak with your buddies, can you believe the nonstop action with everyone who wants to talk about LeBron to the Lakers? What do you have for me on that?
Oh, buddy, let me tell you, with him coming out west and playing for the Lakers now and him being out here for the summer league, it is nonstop. NBA, I've never seen NBA talk like it has been this whole summer. It's going to continue up until the season starts with him playing with the Lakers. And, you know, of course, you got the whole, you know, the LeVar thing going on with the Lakers and Magic and everything. So it's like a big soap opera. But you know what LeBron brings to the Lakers is going to bring some good competition to the West. And I'm looking forward to seeing them playing the Warriors quite a bit.
Leave us with something on baseball. I know you're really sharp on baseball, and you got a lot of baseball bettors who come into the Golden Nugget here. My Yankees, who were reeling, got swept 4 by the Red Sox. The A's are coming on strong. The Astros are defending champs. And then you got the Dodgers not too far from here. And the Dodgers are a little bit streaky, but still a lot of fans think they could fix this train and win the World Series.
Yeah, it's a great time of year. Even with football starting, there's nothing like the last 2 months of Major League Baseball, especially with the division races going on. You see the Dodgers, they're going to probably rise to the top. The Astros are looking good. But the question is the AL East. We know the Red Sox are going to probably win it. They look good now with that big lead. The Yankees is a big question mark. Can they let the A's overtake them? They have to travel to Oakland and play that one-game series? I hope not, man. It's going to be fun to watch down the stretch. But Indians are looking good, and it's going to be a great, great postseason. I can't wait for it.
Tony, leave us again on the contest, how people can get involved. Come on down to the Golden Nugget, find you, and sign up. One more time with that.
Yeah, come into the Golden Nugget Sportsbook. It's a $1,000 entry. You're allowed to have two entries. And just one time you come down and sign up. If you can't make it down here every week, that's great. You can get a proxy service, and the proxies will come in here and put your picks in for you every week. And, it's a smaller contest. What I mean by that is there's less entries. So right now we've only got 90 entries. So we're expecting hopefully maybe 200 or 300, and that gives you a great chance to win some really, really big money.
It's nice when you can actually get into a contest and win big money and not have to compete against the whole world. That's good. It's a winnable contest. Good to hear. Hey, great catching up with you, my friend. I hope to see you soon.
Thanks, JT. Take care.
You got it. Tony Miller, happy we could talk to him today. One of the sharpest and one of the nicest guys in town. Whenever I go into the Golden Nugget with family and friends, he treats everybody like a rock star. Great book, great staff, great group of people there. Love the fact that Tony Miller's come on. When we come back, Brady Cannon from AgainstTheNumber.com and VSiN will tell you how to bet the PGA Championship. It's the last major of the year, and there's a lot of guys who haven't won this year. And they're all in on this one. Weather concerns, the distance of the course. Justin Thomas, the reigning champion with the PGA Championship last year. DJ looks good. What about Tiger and Phil? We'll talk to Brady Cannon coming up next. You're listening to Fox.
How would you describe how difficult it is to hoist the claret jug?
Well, it's not easy. It takes every facet of the game working.
And on top of that, you got to get a couple good bounces. This Lynx Golf is something else. You know, you're going to get some quirky bounces, and you know, hopefully they go your way for the week.
Tiger and came up a little bit short. Will he bounce back and be ready for the final major of the year, the PGA Championship? Brady Cannon joins us, as he always does, to preview the biggest events in golf from againstthenumber.com. You hear him on VSiN. He is my favorite sports golf handicapper, and he knows this sport inside and out. Brady, it's kind of an interesting time of the year because the schedule's still strong with the FedEx Cup there, but the final major of the year, and it's a big one, a lot of guys vying for it.
Yeah, it's definitely a good time in golf. We're, of course, closing out the major season with the PGA Championship, and then, as you say, we roll into the FedEx Cup playoffs. We'll have a Player of the Year crowned, and then right after that, one of your favorites, we do the Ryder Cup. So a big finish in golf here for the next month or so.
PGA Championship, let's begin with the difficulty of the golf course, the weather that is looming, and how difficult is it off the tee? We just came off of Firestone, risk-reward. We just came off of Carnoustie. Tell us about this golf course and some of the difficulties that lie ahead.
Well, weather has definitely been a factor in the majors this year. You know, Shinnecock, we saw the greens get really baked out, and then we saw just the drought conditions at Carnoustie really change the way that golf course played. And this year, in the St. Louis area, in the month of May, they had one of the hottest seasons on record, and that really stressed out the greens at Bellerive. Now, from what I'm hearing is they're going to be fine, but around the edges there are some patchy areas, and the greens are so big, JT, you're going to have to get the ball close to the hole this week because the greens are so huge. If you're putting it 60 feet from the pin all week, you're going to be looking at some three putts. But they did get some rain overnight last night, and expecting some more probably tonight. So I think we're going to see, weather-wise here at Bellerive, something very similar to what we did see last week at Firestone, where they got some pre-tournament rain as well. And you saw Thursday, guys went out there and went low. Kyle Stanley shot 7-under. Ian Poulter was your day one leader at 8-under. I think these guys are going to take advantage of the first couple days here at Bellerive, too. There's a bet out there I know guys can make on the total score, under or over, somewhere in the neighborhood of 267, which would be 13 under par. And I think they're going lower than that. I think they're going to do better than 13 under this week.
Brady Cannon is our guest. Length is something we always talk about with Dustin Johnson, Rory, the guys who could really crush and drive the ball long and then come in with 9-iron and wedge. Is it that type of course where you can really attack the par fives and go low?
Well, first of all, yes. Second of all, the par fives are really long. They're you know, maybe Dustin and Rory can get there in two, but they're really gargantuan par fives, so probably three-shot holes this week. But there's also a premium on accuracy. And again, I go back to Firestone, like last week where you had the tree-lined fairways. You're going to find those again here at Bellerive. So I look to the stat of total driving to be one to look at this week in your handicap, and that's a combination of accuracy and length. And you mentioned Rory. You know, when he's on with the driver, he's got it going long and straight, and he's probably the best driver of the golf ball in the world. And we saw him in the final pairing last Sunday. Now, he fell off on Sunday and ended up finishing sixth, but I expect him to be in the mix again with how well he can drive the ball. DJ's playing excellent golf. Of course, he has been for a while. He's the number one player in the world. Justin Thomas defending his title. But yes, to your point, these guys that can really drive the golf ball long and straight, I believe they'll have an advantage.
A lot of people don't think this is the week for Tiger Woods. I'm amazed with this short game. You know, the putter gets going a little bit streaky, but the way he's coming into these greens with his irons and chipping, I think it's exceptional. But Brady, what's going on with him and his mind on the tee box when he really wants to attack a hole and break out driver? And why not a 3-wood and a 5-wood? Because he gets it out there with distance. It just seems like it's his driver or bust.
I agree with you. I think he's got to be a little bit more strategic off the tee this week and hit that stinger and maybe hit a 3-wood. You know, a lot of these holes are going to call for a draw off the tee, and it's certainly easier to draw a 3-wood than it is a driver. He can still get it out there plenty far, and you're right. You know, from the iron game on in, his game hasn't been too bad. His putting's been a little bit shaky, but in between, he's been pretty good. And if you can get rid of that driver like we saw at Carnoustie, if you can take that driver driver out of his hand, he's an absolute threat. So it'll be interesting to see what his strategy is off the tee this week. The golf course is very long, so he's going to need some length, but he can't get into trouble off the tee and start finding that rough and the trees, or it's going to go sideways in a hurry.
I would assume the length's going to be difficult for Jordan Spieth also.
Yeah, you know, the biggest difficulty for Spieth lately has been the putter, and I think we're going to see that again. We saw him do a tremendous job at Carnoustie and, you know, was in the lead going into the final day. That eventually didn't work out, but I think the reason we saw Spieth do so well at the Open is because it's a totally different putting surface, a much slower surface, and they have to keep the greens longer over there because if the wind starts blowing sideways, it'll blow the ball right off the green. So it's a different putting surface when you play the British Open than we see here in America. And with these greens so big at Belrive, I think you're going to see Jordan Spieth facing some three-putt situations. And it's really been the putter that has been his Achilles heel all season long. And I don't think he will complete the career Grand Slam this week.
Brady Cannon, golf analyst, insider, handicapper, sports radio host. He joins us on Fox Sports Radio. So you're really good at fading the guy at the right time, especially with weather. If it's Bubba, if it's some golfer you just don't like, John Rahm could get hot. When you look at everything that you've done with your analytics and studying all year long, is this a tournament you feel really confident with going forward with a couple of these matchups because of the length, as you're talking about, the size of the greens, that really narrows it down to some of the players in your wheelhouse?
Well, you know, it's really hard to go against Jordan Spieth because he's such a determined player, and when the red light is on, he always seems to shine. Two of the majors this year, he has been right there at the very end, the British and the Masters. But I actually do think this is an opportunity to go against him this week because I do believe there will be, an emphasis on putting with the size of the greens. Bubba Watson is a guy I like to go against basically in any case except for the Masters. He is such a Masters specialist, and with the narrower fairways, I expect him to struggle a little bit this week. John Rahm, I loved him for the British Open. He was in a tremendous position to succeed at the Open Championship with the weather draw and that he got and avoiding the wind and the rain, and he just fell apart, and I'm really scared to back him here in this situation because he just hasn't proven to me that he can do it on the major championship stage. He was great in the Masters this year, but other than that, he really has not shown up in the major events, so he'd probably be another guy that I'd be looking to go against. And if you look at some matchups, he's paired in a lot of cases against guys like Ricky Fowler and Johnson and McIlroy and Thomas that we've been talking about, and I would side with those guys rather than betting on John Rahm.
I'm not going to go with Justin Thomas. I can understand why he could win, obviously, momentum here. I'm going to go with Brooks Koepka. From seeing him at Shinnecock and his length and the way he putted and clutch putt when it mattered, do you like Koepka coming in with his length, or is he just streaky? He doesn't golf enough.
That's a good question, and I can't argue with you at all about Koepka. I mean, he's really a major championship specialist, certainly a U.S. Open specialist, but you're right. I mean, the guy doesn't play a whole lot of golf tournaments, and that it seems that way because he was injured for the first part of the year this year. But, he definitely shows up in the big events, and, you know, it was sneaky where he finished last week. He was kind of just lingering at the bottom of the pack all week last week at Firestone, and then all of a sudden he finishes with a top 10. So, yeah, I'm not going to go against you there. I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the mix on Sunday this week.
Last one, your brother got a hole-in-one at Shadow Creek. We've played there in the past. It's local for us. We love this potential as they're dotting the I's and crossing the T's for the match play for Tiger and Phil. Why will this work? Will this be a home run for golf going forward with these celebrity matches with big money on the line?
Yeah, you know, I like that question, too. I mean, the part there where you're saying, will this be, you know, something that we see in the future? You know, maybe Jordan Spieth against Rory. I mean,
right.
I think they're a blast. And I think even the casual fan can have a lot of fun with this. Now, right now, I think in golf, there's nothing bigger than Tiger versus Phil. So the timing is great. But you're right. Maybe that will build upon future matchups between the big heavyweights in the game and really make golf take off more than it has, even with the resurgence of Tiger. I love the fact that it's locally in our backyard at Shadow Creek. And, you know, the local bookmakers in town, Jimmy Vaccaro, Jay Cornegay, these guys, they're betting that this is going to have a handle of like a football game nearly or a big prize fight. So there's definitely going to be betting interest. And I think it's pretty crazy that Tiger's such a big favorite right now. I mean, if you asked me to pick a winner between Tiger and Phil head-to-head in a matchup, I say it's a toss-up. I think, you know, JT, you've been watching these guys for 20 years. If you went back 10, 15 years, Tiger certainly is a favorite. He's always been a better player than Phil. But right now, you're talking Phil Mickelson about the 22nd, 23rd best player in the world against Tiger, who's ranked 51st in the world. I don't think Tiger is better at this point. I think you can make a strong argument that Phil is better. Tiger certainly has some home course advantage at Shadow. He's been playing there for years, but you know, for Tiger to be such a big favorite in this matchup, I think there's value on Mickelson.
Where can we get your matchups, your picks for the PGA Championship and the rest of the year?
Yeah, all over the place, against the number you mentioned, covers.com, wagertalk.com, and playbook.com. Also, I've got a great article that I just finished up writing that you can get at VSiN's online subscription newsletter, the Point Spread Weekly newsletter, and again, that's at VSiN.com. So all kinds of stuff regarding the PGA Championship all over the place for you.
Thank you, Brady. Take care. Enjoy the weekend.
Thank you.
There he is, Brady Cannon, one of the sharpest golf minds here in Vegas and really building a nice brand, picking these winners and understanding matchups. Again, I don't bet. I put the guys on the show who do and are really good at that. If you're going to bet golf, bet the matchups. I've sat with Brady on a Sunday at the Westgate over at Red Rock and watched him cash ticket after ticket on matchups. Not who won the golf tournament, but who he picked to beat someone else in individual matchups. It's a lot of fun to do. And that sport, I think that's the one gaming sport. And of course, the NBA and the NFL, college football is king. But think what it's going to be like to bet golf in-game. And what it's going to be like to bet golf now all over the country, because everybody has at least some interest. A lot of guys have hit a golf ball before. They know how difficult it is. I think the upside in that side of gaming is going to be huge. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. We'll get you ready for the show with Looney here at the top of the hour. Should be fun. Excited tonight. Head off to Oakland on Friday for the Raiders' first preseason game. Tonight we have Bucky Brooks from NFL Network at 5:30. Paul Schwartz from the New York Post, he's the Giants beat writer, will break down the big blue wrecking crew. And Bill Plaschke from the LA Times and ESPN, all tonight on Fox.
I ain't gonna go back and forth with him. I'm just gonna work, you feel me? That's all it is. You know what it is. Just work, baby.
Cam Newton, after being criticized by Kelvin Benjamin, his former wide receiver. We got into that pretty good last night. I'm a Cam fan. Cam's a brilliant athlete. Cam's only 29 years old. Tom Brady just turned 41. Think of that for a second. Brady's 41. He won the MVP at 40. Cam Newton's already been an MVP. He's 29, and he's been to a Super Bowl. Now, again, I wouldn't put him on the fast path to the Hall of Fame yet, but Cam should have 6 or 7 years of playing at a very high level there. There's a new ownership change in Carolina, but those are one of the teams that we're watching. Another Browns player cited for marijuana possession. Antonio Galloway, it didn't take long for him to run into trouble with the Browns. Fourth round pick and wide receiver from Florida, who arrived in Cleveland with a history of issues while in college, was cited early Sunday morning, which means late Saturday night. Early Sunday morning means we were out late Saturday night for marijuana possession and driving with a suspended license. Look, there's plenty of people that drive around under the influence that shouldn't, but those who do should get caught, and those who have suspended licenses on top of them are knuckleheads. The NFL is looking into the matter. It's just another issue for Cleveland. Hard Knocks starts tonight. I think it starts right now. Hard Knocks with Cleveland, the 0-16 Browns with Baker Mayfield. That's going to be fun. That's going to be a great show. That is must-see television for football families. If you can hang with a little bit of bad language here and there, But it's okay. I love it. My kids and my wife, we've never missed a season of Hard Knocks. And this will be fun to see with Baker Mayfield. Thanks to Bobby, who put the show together, wearing a Red Sox cap and an NHL Network shirt. That's because we're the flagship of the Vegas Golden Knights. We got behind this team, and they went all the way to the Stanley Cup Final. Have a great night. Looney joins me at the top of the hour. Go to Happy Hours at PT's and get a car at the Henderson Hyundai Superstore. Thanks for listening. This is Fox.